Well, it's certainly great to see everyone this morning. Glad that you are here. And we have a few people on Zoom, so if you would say hello to them, that's great. Hi, there we are over here. And nobody's back there, as you can see. Okay. Very good. Very good. Well, this morning, what I would like to do is to continue sharing some of the lesser known images of Jesus that we find in the New Testament. And remember, the reason that we want to do that is because the whole point is that we are becoming like Jesus. We're being transformed into being like Jesus. And some of these lesser known images of Jesus in the New Testament help us see a little more of that, see how he has revealed himself and what path that we are on, that we're going on. And it really helps us to receive it and walk in it and embrace it fully. So today what I'm going to look at is Jesus as the servant. And the verse that came to my mind about that is this: my food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to accomplish his work. There you are. Jesus said not only is that what he's going to do, but that's his food. And the same would be true for us. So let's unpack that a little bit. I've shared with you before, but I don't remember the last time I did it, but it illustrates the point. There were a few years where I was an adjunct instructor in a few different places. One course was worship, another was New Testament, another was community-focused ministry. And there is only one way you got a good grade from me if I was your instructor. And that maybe this was the same for you too, Gail, because you were Professor Pete, maybe you've done this. If you answered the actual question that I asked, you got a good grade. And maybe you're a little off on the content, but if you actually answered the question, you got a good grade. If you answered some other question, then I had to get back to you and say, okay, but what about this question that I asked? And the same was true for projects, final projects. And I remember talking to one student on the phone who was struggling with the project very honestly. And I said, well, this is what I'm looking for. And that student took that right up and turned in a great project. At least I thought so, because it was what I was looking for. So that was good. Now, what Jesus does here is he takes that idea much further. Because we can get stuck in thinking, well, if I do what God says, then I'll have a good grade. I'll have a good grade with God. And as you, I think, have seen from time to time, and we've looked at here, you have a good grade with God from the beginning. There's nothing you do to get a good grade from God. God gives you a good grade immediately, because of what Jesus did, and you are in that. You are enfolded within the work of Jesus, and that gives you a good grade. What Jesus says here, as I know it's not in front of you, but it's just one sentence. My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to accomplish his work. He didn't say, my good grade is when I do the will of the one who sent me. He said, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me. There's a difference in serving, in service, between two things. And one makes it getting a good grade, and the other makes it your food. There's a difference between the good you think that needs to be done and doing the good you are asked to do, especially what God asks you to do. So if you do the good thing you think ought to be done, you're going to get a good grade because you're going to go after that. You're going to be diligent. You're going to think this is what's needed here. And off you go and you get a good grade. You do what God asks you to do, and that's going to feed you. That's going to build you. That's going to strengthen you and transform you and heal you and build you up. And that's the difference between the two. That's why Jesus says, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me. This is why we've built the ministry of St. Francis this year on what has the Spirit of God prompted you to do? If the Spirit of God could empower you to do anything, what would it be? And from the answers, that's what we built our ministry areas on. That's why we had the yard sale out of the prompting of God so that we could engage the community. That was the prompting that came. And that team of viability was built around that. And then there was the prompting about appeal, the appeal of what this place looks like. And the prompting was that when people look at this place, they sense the open arms of Jesus inviting them to be part of the family. That was a prompting of the Spirit of God. We built around that. That's what it is. And that's we've been on that path. And I want to explain that just a little further, because that path never ends. We're always on that path. And Jesus models how this works and empowers us to do it. So he says, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me. So Jesus describes what a servant is. You are a servant when you do the will of the one who sent you. That's when you're a servant. When somebody says, do this, and you do it, you are serving that person. Okay, I mean, it's a simple concept. I want to make sure there's no question. There we are. Okay. You are a helpful person when you do what you think is helpful to others. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with being a helpful person, because that could be very, very good. But who are you serving when you're doing what you think needs to be done?
Yourself.
Right. It's your thoughts. You say, this is what needs to be done. So you do it. Now, maybe it is what needs to be done, but you're following what you say. That's fine. Now, I want to put you at ease. If you see me doing something that's going to cause me a lot of heartache and pain, and you know something needs to be done so that won't happen to me, and you do that, I, for one, am going to be very grateful. You'll get a really high grade from me. Things will be great. But the situation is, you have still served what you thought. It's fine. It's great. I'm glad you did. But there may not be any food in that. You might feel pretty good for a while. You might think this was great. I like doing that. I get a good grade. But it keeps you where you are. It keeps you in the path that you're in. The transformation that Jesus wants for us is not brought about by what we think needs to be done. When you give up defining what needs to be done and take someone else's thought, then you're serving the one who sent you. If you give up defining what needs to be done and pay attention to what God says should be done, then you are serving God. So I just want to make that distinction. There's certainly overlap, but I want to make that distinction. Because God could say to you, you know that thing that you're thinking that you already know that you have some experience in? Go do that. And then you're serving God. What we want to get into the habit of doing is serving God. And that is taking up what God asks us to do. Getting familiar with the voice of God in places that maybe we are challenged or whatever it may be, so that we are serving God. And that we begin saying the way Jesus said, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me. Different from my hope that everything works out for me is by doing some good for people. please keep doing good for people, but at the same time, develop the capacity to catch what God is asking you to do so that you can serve God. When Jesus says, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to accomplish his work," he's echoing that great passage from Deuteronomy, which many of us are familiar with. We do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So that's what's going on with that. And what Jesus brings is life and power, not to do our best, but to do what God asks. Please keep doing your best and do your best to catch what God asks you to do. You remember the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus said, "Let this cup," which was going to be his death, "pass from me, but not my will, but yours." Even in the face of death, Jesus' food was the very word of God. And the way Jesus served was by hearing, receiving, and doing the word of God. And that's the way we would do it too. Our service of God, the way we serve God, is to hear, receive, and do the word of God. What I mean is, there is an open, living, ongoing, active relationship with the Spirit of God. It is more than memorizing Bible passages. It is an active manner in which the Spirit of God brings things up within us, and we are able to then process that, understand that, go further in that, and walk in that. And that is what it is to serve God. Okay, everybody okay? Great, nobody said, "No, I'm not okay." Good, okay, so I'll keep going. See, now, the question is, how do you listen to do that? How do you listen to serve? And it's just like listening to other people. If you want to know what someone is saying, you focus your attention on that person, especially when they're saying something. You've all experienced that, I take it. And you've experienced when you're saying something and the person you're saying something to is multitasking. Yeah, and you don't want them to be multitasking because you are saying something to them and you want them to get it. And the same has happened when they're saying something to us. So is your full attention on the person who is saying something to you is how you listen to them. And then there's the active listening, of course, where you say back to them, "This is what I think I heard. Did I get it?" And you resist the temptation to multitask then, and you listen again. If you want to be able to do what another person is able to do, not just hear what they say, but actually do what another person is able to do, you put your full attention on what that person is doing so that you can do it too. You have to perceive it before you can do it. And in the perception of the things of God, we're changed. We're transformed. If you want to develop a lifestyle like someone else has, you stay close to that person for a long period of time. So you start catching the rhythms that they have and the way that they do things. And then that lifestyle starts becoming yours. That's what we want to do in our relationship with Jesus. It's not just be okay with Jesus. Or the other way around, like the Doobie Brothers sing, "Jesus is just okay with me." We don't want to stop right there. We want to become like Jesus. We want to be changed into his likeness, and that's what he wants too. So it takes listening to Jesus in order that to do what Jesus says becomes our food, becomes the thing that builds us up and that makes us like him. So I suggest these things in listening to Jesus. Some of you I know are doing them, but it's always good to review them and try to do them better. I would suggest first, take time to focus on Jesus. You know, whatever time you think, you could even ask Jesus, when do you want me to focus on you? And whatever comes to your mind, do that. If it's take time in the morning or as you're going through your day, right here and there. Sometimes if you're learning something, you like to have some, like an hour or so of concentration on that. But then other times, maybe if there's a break and you have 5 minutes, you take 5 minutes to look at one piece of that you might be struggling with. You can do the same with Jesus. Maybe there's a long chunk of time that you spend time with him. Or if you're just, something's impressed you, something's going on, and you just take a couple of minutes and say, Jesus, what about that? And shut everything else out. I would suggest on those moments when you're focusing directly on Jesus so that you want to know what Jesus wants you to know, so that that can become your food, is you put aside your prayer list and your concerns and just listen to him. And then after a little bit, you can pick up your prayer list and your concerns and bring them to him. Just don't let your list of what you want God to take care of be the totality of the way that you relate to Jesus. Because there's always more with Jesus. If you, for example, want to pray like Jesus, look at the way Jesus prays and do the same thing. There's times when Jesus went off by himself. There's times when Jesus could have really you've taken full advantage of the big crowds that were coming after him and made this huge ministry, and he left them and went off by himself to pray. Maybe there's something that you think, man, this is great, and you feel that tap on the shoulder from the Spirit of God, and you just go aside for a little bit and focus on Jesus only. If you want a lifestyle like Jesus, then you look closely at all that he does. The way that he does things, the way that he relates to the Father, the way that Jesus relates to other people, the way that Jesus relates to his followers, those things. Take a close look. Ask Jesus to show you how you can do that. And then ask God for the power to have that kind of lifestyle. All of that becomes our food. It becomes what strengthens us. It helps us to become more like Jesus, where our food becomes doing the will of the one who sent me and to accomplish his work. I hope this has been helpful. And maybe you have some questions about it, or maybe you're thinking, I don't know. That's one of the craziest things I've heard. Now, I know that it wouldn't be the craziest because I've told you crazier things than that. But maybe it's on the list. That's fine. Ask me about it later. That'd be fine. I'd love to talk about it some more with you and how it works for you personally. But in the meantime, I want to encourage you, keep asking for the power to do what the Spirit of God asks you to do. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the servant of God, and we ask that we too will be the servants of God. For the glory of your name. Amen.